Murray Abraham reads Amadeus by Peter Schaffer, adapted in 8 parts by Neville Teller. Episode 3.
Mozart took my advice. Without waiting for his father's consent, he and Constanze were married. They set up house, and Mozart continued his efforts to earn a living. He achieved little success. He certainly gave public concerts of his works, but they paid very little. As for pupils, he managed to acquire only 3, while every approach he made to the musical establishment for a post was rebuffed. This indeed was scarcely surprising. He was incapable of the sort of diplomacy essential for success in polite society. He made scenes, and he made enemies. Tales of Mozart's outspokenness abounded, and word of the latest faux pas didn't take long to sweep through the city. For example, it took less than 12 hours for me to hear of events at Kapellmeister Bono's one evening. The party had included the director of the Imperial Opera, Count Orsini Rosenberg, no friend of Mozart's to start with, and Count Killian von Strach, groom of the Imperial Chamber. The wine had flowed pretty freely, and when Mozart cornered von Strach, his tongue was already well loosened. 7 months in this city, complained Mozart, and not one job. I'm not to be tried again, is that it? Of course not, said von Strach, doing his best to pacify the irate young man. But Mozart wasn't to be pacified. I know what goes on, and so do you. Vienna is completely in the hands of foreigners, worthless Italians, like Kapellmeister Bono. Von Strach was appalled. Herr Mozart, please, you're in the man's house. But inhibitions flung to the winds, Mozart swept on, now prepared to give voice to what he thought of me and my work. To say nothing of court composer Salieri. Hush, said von Strach. Did you see Salieri's last opera? Demanded Mozart. The Stolen Bucket? Did you? Of course I did. Unbearable, cried Mozart, plumping himself down at the fortepiano and bashing out one of the major tenor arias. Bom, 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 tonic and dominant, from here to resurrection. Not one interesting modulation all night. Salieri is a musical idiot. Herr Mozart, please, said von Strach. But Mozart was unstoppable. Why are Italians so terrified by the slightest complexity in music? Tell me that. Show them one chromatic passage, and they faint. No wonder the music at this court is so dreary. And in opera, they use the same old conventions over and over again. Tremolando shows rage. Sforzando shows excitement. C minor means gravity. D minor means terror. Round and round like donkeys at a grindstone. Do lower your voice, urged von Strach. Lower your britches, cried the creature, adding instantly, that's just a joke. At that moment, he caught sight of Count Orsini Rosenberg, who was standing and staring at the spectacle that Mozart was making of himself. The creature rounded on him. Count, you look like a toad. I mean your waistcoat. And you were goggling like a toad as well. Herr Mozart, said the director, you'd do best to retire for your own sake. Salieri has 50 pupils, said Mozart. I have 3. How am I to live? I'm a married man now. Of course, I realize that you don't concern yourself with money in these exalted circles. All the same, did you know that behind his back, His Majesty is known as Kaiser Keep It? This time, von Strach was truly outraged. Mozart! I shouldn't have said that, said the creature, should I? Forgive me. It was just a joke. Another joke! I can't help myself. We're all friends here, aren't we? But this was the point at which von Strach thought it expedient to leave the company. Mozart and Count Orsini Rosenberg looked at each other. What's wrong with him? Asked Mozart. And I truly believe the creature had no concept of the impossible position in which he'd placed the groom of the Imperial Chamber. As the director also turned to leave, Mozart grabbed his arm. No, 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 please. Your hand, please, first. The Count unwillingly held out his hand. Mozart grabbed it and kissed it. Sir, please give me a post. That, Mozart, said Count Orsini Rosenberg, is not in my power. The Princess Elizabeth is looking for a music instructor. One word from you could secure the post for me. You're misinformed, said the Count. That post is solely in the recommendation of court composer Salieri. Good night to you. He disengaged his hand and walked away. Mozart called after him. Do you know I'm better than any musician in Vienna? Do you? The arrogance of the creature. It was unendurable. It was now that the seeds of revenge, seeds planted in me by my knowledge of what that creature had done to my beautiful, pure pupil, Caterina Cavalieri, began to flower. Barely 1 month later, those thoughts of revenge became more than thought. Once again, believe it or not, the scene was the library in the house of the Baroness Volstatten. I was in the same concealing chair, consuming the same delicious dessert. The occasion was a masked ball to celebrate New Year's Eve. I was on my own, my dear spouse Teresa visiting her parents in Italy. Suddenly the peace of the library was broken by the arrival of three people. One voice I recognized instantly, Constanza, Mozart's wife. The other two were those of young men, neither of them Mozart. "I want to measure your calves," shouted one. "Ooh," screeched Constanza. "Definitely not, you cheeky bugger." "You've got to let him, Stanzerl," cried the other young man. "All's fair in love and forfeits." "If you don't let me," said the first, "you won't be allowed to play again. Now get up on the table."
"Well, quick then," said Constanza, "before anyone sees."
A moment later she was up on the table, and one of the young men was thrusting a ruler up her skirts, to much giggling and false modesty on her part. Then I heard someone else enter. It was Mozart, and he was outraged.
"Constanza!"
"It's only a game, Wolfie," she said. "We meant no harm," said the first young man, "upon my word." "Come down off that table," said Mozart. "As for you two, I'd be grateful if you'd leave us." As soon as they'd gone, Mozart turned on his wife. "You're a married woman, for God's sake. A young wife doesn't allow her legs to be measured in public. You've shamed me, in front of them." Suddenly Constanza, too, was wild with rage.
"You, shame? Don't be ridiculous.
If there's any shame around, lovey, it's mine." "What do you mean?"
"I mean you've had every female pupil who ever came to you."
"That's not true," said Mozart.
"Every single one. The Arnhammer girl, the Rumbeck girl, Caterina Cavalieri, that sly little whore. She wasn't even your pupil, she was Salieri's. Which actually, my dear, may be why he has hundreds and you have none. He doesn't drag them into bed."
And once again I learned Mozart's real opinion of me. Learned it from his own mouth. "Of course he doesn't drag them into bed," crowed the foul-mouthed creature.
"And why? Because he can't get it up.
Have you heard his music? That's the sound of someone who can't get it up. At least I can do that. Nobody ever said I couldn't do that." Suddenly Constanza burst into tears.
"I don't give a fart," she sobbed. "I hate you forever and ever. I hate you."
The next second, Mozart was all contrition. "Oh, Stanzel, don't cry. Please don't cry. I can't bear it when you cry. I just didn't want you to look cheap in people's eyes, that's all. Here, take this ruler. Beat me. Go on, beat me."
"No,"
said Constanza. And this was the cue for the foul-mouthed creature to try to wheedle her out of her mad temper. Stanzi Wanzi had a fit, shit her stays and made them split. Despite herself, Constanza found she had to giggle. The obscenities continued. "When they took away her skirt, Stanzi Wanzi ate the dirt." I couldn't bear it any longer. Quite involuntarily, a cry of disgust fell from my lips. Instantly the two froze. Hastily converting my cry into a yawn and stretching as if waking from a nap, I peered round my all-concealing armchair. "Ah, good evening." "How long have you been there?" said Mozart.
"I can't say. I've just woken up."
"Are you two quarreling?"
"Yes, we are," said Constanza. "He's been very irritating."
I stood up. "Dear Mozart, tonight is the time for New Year resolutions. Irritating lovely ladies can't be one of yours. May I suggest you bring us each a sorbetto from the dining room?" With something of an ill grace, Mozart went off on his errand, and I turned my attentions to his wife. "He's a lucky man," I said. "You are, if I may say so, an astounding creature."
"Me?" said Constanze. "Ta very much."
"Your husband, on the other hand, doesn't appear to be thriving." Constanze seized her opportunity.
"So we're desperate. We have no money and no prospects of any. That's the truth."
"But I don't understand," I said. "He gives many public concerts. Why, I attended one only last evening. He not only conducted, but he himself performed on the fortepiano. A charming concerto. The audience was most appreciative."
"They don't pay enough, these concerts," said Constanze. "What he needs is pupils, illustrious pupils. His father calls us spendthrifts, but that's unfair. I manage as well as anyone could. There's simply not enough. Oh, don't tell him I talked to you, please."
"This is solely between ourselves," I assured her. "How can I help?"
"My husband needs security, sir. If only he could find regular employment, everything would be all right. Is there nothing at court?"
"Not at the moment," I said.
But she persisted. "The Princess Elizabeth needs a tutor."
"Really?" I said. "I hadn't heard."
"One word from you and the post would be his. Other pupils would follow at once."
"He's coming back. We can't speak of this now."
"When then? Oh, please."
"Can you come and see me tomorrow? Alone?"
"I can't do that," she said.
"When does he work?" I asked.
"Afternoons."
"Then come at 3. She continued to demur.
"I can't possibly."
"Yes or no," I said. "In his interests?" At that moment, Mozart returned, and the matter wasn't referred to again that evening. But I had done it, spoken aloud, invited her. What of that vow that I'd made in church? What of fidelity? What of virtue? I thrust them behind me. The next afternoon, I waited in a fever. Would she come? I had no idea. And if she did, how would I behave? As the clock struck 3, on the very stroke of the hour, I heard the front doorbell. I rose from my chair in a fever of excitement. She'd come. She'd come. A moment later, she was shown in, and we were alone together. Was I actually going to seduce a young wife of 2 months' standing?
F. Murray Abraham was reading Amadeus by Peter Schaffer, adapted by Neville Teller and directed by Peter Leslie Wilde.
Will Salieri finally take his revenge on Mozart, or is his quarrel really with God? You can hear part 4 of Peter Schaffer's Amadeus at 2 o'clock tomorrow.